time once again for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Debbie Pappas. She is with Second Chance Wildlife and Rehabilitation, and they are the charity of the month for the month of January at Castle Country Radio. And so we like to bring a member of that charity in, let them talk about the charity, what they do, and how you, as the public, can help them either financially or through volunteer work and those kinds of things, because they do quite a bit here in our area. And it's just really two or three of them doing it. And anytime you want to come and give them a hand, they're more than willing to do that. And, you know, in different ways as well. You're not necessarily sometimes going to be working with animals. You may be building something. You may be helping them, you know, fix a structure or adding on to somewhere. But, you know, all kinds of help is needed. And Debbie has come in to talk to us this morning about it. Debbie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, Dave.
So let's dive in and let people know what, you know, Second Chance Wildlife Rehabilitation is all about.
So we are an organization that takes care of injured, orphaned, or sick wildlife in the state of Utah. Our permits are for the entire state. Obviously, we would probably just work around in our area or so. We do cover the largest area in Utah, though, around 11 counties, simply because there's only a handful of us in the state of Utah. In order to do the work we do, we have to have apprenticed for some time. And then my background is in human medicine, so that helped as well. And then we have to take state and federal tests to prove that we know what it takes to do the job that is going to be laid ahead of us. And so I've been doing this now for, this year is 29 years, and it's quite challenging. Most of our work is veterinary work, but we also do, you know, we have to have a knowledge of a lot of things, including habitat, diseases, and different things, which the disease category falls into veterinarian, but it's all specifically wildlife.
And you know, we always talk about the fact that, you know, if you see a animal that is struggling, a bird or like or some things like that, and you deal mostly with birds, do you not?
Mostly, but we also, like, we have three mammals right now. We have an injured adult squirrel, an injured adult rabbit, and we also have a mink, an escapee from one of the horrible, horrible fur farms in Utah County.
And as I was saying, you know, people see these animals and look, they look like they're in distress. And doing the right thing, yes, they call the DWR, and doing the right thing usually is calling them. But more importantly, the DWR, the, you know, the Highway Patrol, if they see these kinds of things, they call you. They reach out to you.
Yeah. So DWR does not do what I do. So whenever there's a problem with wildlife, they have to reach out to a wildlife rehabilitator. The only other option, and obviously we don't like to hear that, is for them to kill the animal. And if you've got a rehabilitator that can do that, why would you do that? Unless it's clear that the animal is truly suffering. But anyways, a rehabilitator is that person that's going to examine it, decide what can or can't be done according to what is available in the veterinary field, what can be done. And then, because our goal is always release, and that's not always possible. We do have other options, but again, it's not a black and white situation. You've got to, you know, determine how old is this animal? Has this animal spent its entire life out in the wild, which would not make it a good educational ambassador? Younger birds would, because they don't really understand what they've lost yet. So we don't make these decisions lightly. And then, of course, sometimes euthanasia is the only answer. It's the correct thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And it's a compassionate thing to do.
And so with that knowledge that we have now of Second Chance, if there is somebody out there that, you know, maybe wants to make a donation, maybe wants to help or, you know, come and volunteer, what kinds of things do they have to do? So, like, if somebody wanted to make a cash donation, because I know this is entirely how you operate,
yep,
correct?
Absolutely. Nobody pays us. Wildlife don't have accounts to pay us. And certainly the Division of Wildlife nor U.S. Fish and Wildlife are interested in helping us financially.
And so if someone is interested in making a donation, what is the best route to do? What do they need to do? You are a 501c3,
correct?
We are
a full 501, so they can get that benefit. They can either contact myself or even call the Division of Wildlife and ask them how to get a hold of me. You know, I'm probably on speed dial, even with all of their law enforcement people. And just generally, everybody knows who I am around here. I mean, they don't know my name. So just, you know, call Dave. Call Dave here. He knows where I am.
I'm gonna let her secret out. If you're looking for Debbie on a Saturday morning, go to Starbucks. That's where I usually run into Debbie. And it's very true. But yes, you know what? Give her a call and help out in any way that you can, because they're doing this on their own. They have no sources of funding at all except for what they take in donations.
Right.
And another great way that you can help is to go and volunteer. And as I said, when I say volunteer, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go help with animals.
Right, right. And, you know, a lot of people, it'd be great if people would just say, hey, you know, we've got some lumber and it's in really good shape. Can you use this? We always keep a stash of that stuff so that when we're ready to do a project, obviously trying to build something in this kind of weather is not okay. So we don't want to have to scramble in the spring and worry about trying to find lumber. It's nice to have a lot of those things donated to us because our buildings are always needing to be upgraded, and we have to meet federal guidelines. These aren't little bird pens or whatever you're thinking. These are amazing buildings that these animals, the birds, let's say, fly around in. So you've got to have a lot of room. They've got to meet a certain criteria. This is not a zoo. It's a hospital. So it's built with that in mind. It's not built in mind with people coming and looking, because that's not what we're about.
And that's what I was going to say. You mentioned the fact that you're not a zoo, but the structures that you build are that big.
Oh, absolutely.
They have to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you're going to rehabilitate a bird, they've got to maybe learn how to fly again or something like that. They have to have room to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, our eagles, they, you know, when we put them out in our 50-foot flight, it would be wonderful to have the 100-foot flight that I always wanted. And that's our next really big goal. But, yeah, 50 feet, when people walk in, I get people all the time that come down and bring me things that are falconers, and they walk into that building and they're like, wow. It's just, they have no idea, because rehab, we have to have our patients moving around, and they don't just move 5 or 10 feet. They fly.
And that's what I was going to say. They use every inch of that 50-foot structure.
Absolutely.
So if you're interested in helping out, if you're a carpenter or a contractor that has built things and you're interested in helping out, volunteer and everything, get a hold of Debbie there at Second Chance. If you've got, you know, if you want to make a cash donation, once again, you can get a hold of her. What's the best way to get a hold of you, Debbie?
So call me on my cell phone, which is a local 435-650-3441. And just a quick note, Dave, we're trying to get ready for spring, and a lot of times that brings in volunteers from other states. It's not something we can always rely on, but when it happens, we have to have a place for them to go. Castle Country RV has just donated a used trailer to us to put these people into, because sometimes they're here for weeks, you know, and we need a place for them to go. But we're looking for more. I've got guys right now that are building a bathroom out in our garage so that the people that are staying with us have their own bathroom and shower and everything else. So there's always something to do.
Always something to do, and everything helps. No matter
everything.
If you think it won't, call Debbie, and she will tell you whether it will help or not.
Absolutely.
All right, Debbie, thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
And we're going to let you get back to taking care of them, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, for more information on interviews like this one, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.